Grace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But you have to remember, the disciples here in our text today didn't know that. We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is crucified. We know that Jesus is risen from the dead. We know that Jesus is ascended at the right hand of the Father. We know He has sent the Spirit to us to guide us into all truth. We know all these wonderful things and doctrines that the disciples, the apostles, didn't know yet. We know more. And yet they make some pretty big statements. Now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. If you remember last week in the text, Jesus said, I'm going to go away from you and then I'll come back and that'll be all right. And the disciples thought He was just being figurative, where He really meant, I'm going to die and then I'm going to be dead and then I'm going to come back to life and then I'm going to go up into heaven to God the Father. And Jesus wasn't exactly unclear in any of that. But His disciples wanted Him to be unclear. You see, it's a lot easier when there's no clarity. It's a lot easier to make sense of things because we can put our own interpretation into that which is not clear. Have you ever seen modern art? When I was a college student, we were taken over to one of the Detroit museums, of the Museum of Modern Art. And as we were walking through, we came across a piece that was just a giant, it must have been 14 by 10 canvas in white. And that was supposed to mean something. I don't know what it meant. I always think it's a polar bear in a snowstorm. But regardless, the artist meant something by it. And then He's supposed to leave it to your interpretation as to what it means. And you're supposed to kind of figure that out. What does it mean to you? How do you feel about it? What do you see represented there? I didn't see much. And such is the way with many pieces of modern art. But that's what happens when there's no clarity. As opposed to, say, seeing a picture depicting the crucifixion of our Lord, where the blood of Jesus is pouring out on the disciples gathered there. You have an image of what's happening. It's not left up to interpretation. It's told to you exactly what it is saying, is that Jesus Christ is crucified for you for the forgiveness of sins. A white canvas can't say that. You see, the disciples wanted there to be no real clarity. They could make sense of what Jesus was saying by their own interpretations. Even though they say, you're speaking plainly and not using figurative language. Now we know that you know all things and don't need anyone to question you. That's why we believe that you came from God. You see, they're not actually thinking what Jesus is saying. They're thinking what they think Jesus wants to hear. Because remember, Jesus looks at them here and says, do you now believe? Are you sure you believe? After all, the time is coming when all that I've said is going to be fulfilled and you're going to watch and you're going to run. Peter, you're going to cut off someone's ear. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Judas, you will betray me. John, you'll be okay. The rest of you, well, I'll see you in a few days. Everyone ran, except for maybe John. Everyone ran. Did they truly believe that Jesus had come from God? After all, does one who comes from God die? No. But of course the answer is yes. And so we see in this Jesus looking at His apostles and saying these wonderful things, to say these things are going to be accomplished by my death, by my rising again. And the disciples still don't get it. I mean, the good news for us is that now living some 2,000 years after the crucifixion, after the ascension, we understand what Jesus means by these things. I've said these things that in me you may have peace, Jesus says. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And He has. He did that by His death. He did that by His resurrection. We have no need to fear the world. But for the disciples looking at Jesus in this way, I've overcome the world. And now the world is going to arrest you and crucify you, and you've overcome nothing. See, when it's unclear, we can go back in and we can make any kind of interpretation we want. But Jesus is specifically leaving it unclear so that His truth will shine forward in the days to come. We have the end of the story. There's no lack of clarity here. We know how this all ends. And because of that, we can read Jesus' words and see exactly what He's saying. So all of that leads up to this. In that day, you'll ask nothing of me, the day that He comes. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Have you asked and not received? I don't really care what it is. You could ask the Father for $1 million. I saw no Lamborghinis in the parking lot. Not sure. I think we ask God for things all the time and He doesn't give it to us. Why is that? Well, it's unclear. It's unclear to the disciples that day. I mean, after all, it would be nice and easy to say, Lord, protect us always. Keep us from an unsafe death. Keep our families nice and protected. But it's not the way it goes. It's just not. Think of how the apostles all ended. The only one to live into a natural death is John. All the rest of them were persecuted. Thomas was run through with a spear and then boiled alive. Matthew, well, not exactly sure what happened to him, but we're pretty sure it had something to do with a sword. Peter was forced to watch his wife crucified, and then himself was to be crucified, but he said, I'm not worthy to die in the manner of my Lord, so they crucified him upside down. His brother Andrew was crucified on a cross shaped like a X. The apostles did not end in good ways, not even their families. Don't you think that they asked the Father to protect them, to be with them, to guide them? Does it seem like the Father's withholding His hand from them? Only if there is a lack of clarity is that the way this works. If you don't know what Jesus is saying, then you're going to read into this and say, well, I can ask God for whatever I want and He's going to give it to me. Or the outside world can take this passage and say, look, your God said you can ask for whatever you want, but you're not getting it. Therefore, your God's not real. Here's the thing. It all comes down to the death of Christ. You see, when we look at the death of Christ, we see something that to the world is pointless, is stupid. We look at the cross and we see the murder of a man who's completely debased. All of his honor is taken away from him as he hangs upon that cross. The world sees him as a man. The world watches the blood come down from his body. They see the spittle drip out of his mouth. They hear his death throes and his cries. And when they look at Jesus, they see something weak. They see something that they don't understand. They look at Jesus and see humanity, but they don't understand what's really going on, which is the satisfaction of God's wrath upon sin. God pours out His entire wrath on Jesus Christ, who takes your place upon the cross. This is what we call the vicarious atonement. Vicarious meaning, in your place did He win atonement. In your place did He make you one with God. In your place He took the punishment for your sin. And when we understand the death of Christ in this way, when we understand that Jesus is not weak on the cross, but it is when He is strongest, it's not because He's dishonored, but this is when He comes into His glory. When we understand that, we begin to understand what should we be asking for. Do we ask for glory and honor? Do we ask for material possessions? Now, don't get me wrong. It's not bad to ask for these things. Not always. But when you ask it in Jesus' name, what does that look like? Lord, be with me. Lord, protect me in the faith. Lord, this is going to be difficult. Help me to endure. Lord, forgive my sin, for I have done wrong. Lord, bring my children up in the faith. Lord, bring my children back to your church. Lord, be with me always, even to the end of the age. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask in light of his death and resurrection. Jesus did not die to make us happy and healthy and wealthy. Jesus died knowing that we were going to be going into great tribulation, and we have been in tribulation since our Lord ascended into heaven. And we are going to be in that tribulation until he returns to reclaim this earth as his own. When we ask in his name, we ask in light of the troubles and tribulations to come. And we ask because we know the end. We ask because we have clarity as to what will happen. We ask because our Lord has overcome the world. We ask because he guides us in all things. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come from the Father. And the Father has loved you by sending the Son for your sake. That's an amazing thing. To know that God has guided you and loved you in such a way that he sends his only begotten Son to die in your place. What else can we do but pray, praise, and give thanks to God for all things and ask him for that which we need according to the faith? We don't ask necessarily for more than what we need. And God never gives us what we don't need. But we know that whatever comes from the hand of the Father, it comes out of the love that he gave to us through his Son. It comes to us that we might endure through this time of tribulation. Take heart, my friends. Jesus has overcome the world, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.